With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hot town summer in the city, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Wolves advance in the Europa League and the Champions League is back. It's Friday the 7th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Greetings, one and all, on this very warm day in London. It's Friday. It's very close to the weekend. Tonight we have the Champions League. Oh, my giddy aunt, are we looking forward to that? But before we talk about that European competition,
let's talk about how many words. We have a battle about how many words you can get in the intro every week.
Let's talk about the playoff final.
No, you people should know that you are very ambitious. I think admirably so, in how big the intro can be in the time frame. I didn't have faith in you today, and you've proved me wrong.
There was a little bit of wiggle room still.
There
and
was
he could have put his middle name in there.
He could have done.
Which is?
You'll have to find out by listening next week.
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's a cliffhanger already. Do that at the end, not now.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
What I like particularly, I think Marcus needs room to do, you know, that smashy and nicey Backman Turner overdrive, let's rock.
Let's rock, yeah.
With the hand.
Kick it in then. Yeah,
exactly. As the music crescendos.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, we want them in the Premier League with their new stadium.
Yeah.
What a pity, everybody.
Yeah.
What a pity. Lovely to see Fulham up, Andy. I think you'll agree. Allow me that, okay? I've waited a few days.
I think lovely, while they're rebuilding that stand, to have so much wind off the Thames. I'm not sure it is.
Can they do it on a windy night in West London?
Get it up by November, that's what
indeed.
I'm saying.
Look, it's just nice to have a club who's got a billionaire owner back in the Prem. I think we can...
I like the idea that producer Charlie has to do the scheduling for every show during the week and goes, if we don't put Marcus on after Fulham have been promoted, is that a problem? He'll probably mention it anyway.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, the greatest goal scored at the new Wembley thus far. I think we can all agree. Name a better one. You can't, can you?
No, because I genuinely don't think we should be covering it today.
All right, let's talk about Wolverhampton Wanderers. They deserve it, for crying.
Yeah, let's do that.
They do deserve it. They rode their luck at times, Andy. But my goodness, they're in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. Big stuff.
You know, people are going to say they rode their luck. I just think they
have said it.
Yeah, well,
today.
I heard them on the way here. Yeah.
They said it.
And I want you to...
leaning out their windows and saying it. Just because London's very hot today.
Yes, yes, exactly.
But I do think that's a little bit unfair on Wolves, mm-hmm. because I think it's unrealistic to expect, especially in the back end of the competition, that they're not going to have to grind a few results out. And I touched on it yesterday when we were previewing the game. Olympiacos are really good. Mm. And they've had a really good season. And this, to me, like a lot of the games at the back end of the Europa League, is Champions League standard. Mm. And Wolves have proved they can live with that.
You know, Olympiacos have more experience.
I'm really interested.
Much more experience.
In that point, it's really fascinating to me because Europa League is derided. If you look at something, I think it was something earlier this week on Twitter saying the clubs that Spurs could draw in the Europa League, and it was a load of teams that no one had heard of and people were laughing about it. But what I think is sometimes lost in that is in the latter stages, the quality is very good.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's the thing, isn't it?
Sevilla-Roma game, which I know we'll come on to, incredible game.
Exactly.
It was brilliant. But played at such a great pace.
That is the thing with the Europa League, Luke, that everyone talks about the haves and have-nots in the Champions League. I don't think there's a bigger gulf between the haves and the have-nots anywhere than in the group stages of the Europa League.
Yeah, right, yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
It's enormous. Yeah. I mean, we've said it before on here, or I've said it before on here, that when you knew Arsenal were in real trouble this season was when they didn't win all six games.
In the Europa League group stages.
You know, they looked all over the shop. Yeah. And it was after a Europa League game, actually, after they lost to Eintracht Frankfurt, mm-hmm. that Emery got... thrown out in the street, as they would say in Spain.
Is that how they say it?
Yes.
Ah.
We would say he got the tin tack.
Well, what's the old...
Spanish archer.
The Spanish archer.
Yeah. I'll tell you who I like as a player. Do you know who I like as a player? And perhaps this is me stating the obvious or whatever, but...
Raul Jimenez.
No, yeah. He seems to score a few goals. Do you know who I think's a tricky customer?
Yeah.
Adama Traore.
Is he?
No. I like Ruben Vinagre, you know. He hasn't seemed to play an awful lot, but every time I see him, he came in early in the game yesterday, obviously. And,
yeah, because Johnny went off, didn't
he? Yeah, and whenever I see him, for his age and... for the fact that he doesn't really start football matches very often for Wolves, I think he looks such a good player, like a really good prospect.
Well, and he's got really good pedigree as well. So
was he born from a series of pedigree horses? Is that what you're saying? Is that he's a long line of race horses? Is that what you mean by that?
A long line of left backs.
Okay, his dad played for left back.
Certainly. Yeah. But I think it shows that Wolves do have that quality, not quantity. Everyone's always talking about the small squad, but I think their game management is absolutely magnificent. They defended really, really well in that game. Of course, Rui Patricio had to make a few really good saves.
What he's there for, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what he's there for. And I always said it's not a foregone conclusion against Olympiacos. I mean, you know, I think it's easy to say Wolves didn't play well or Wolves didn't play their best, but realistically, Olympiacos gave Spurs a really good game twice in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And then they gave Arsenal a really good game twice in the Europa League. Does there not come a point where we actually have to say, right, they're good, they're in European competition virtually every year? As you say, Marcus,
right, they're really knocked out now, so the joke's
on them.
See ya.
It's a knockout match and Wolves are through.
Yeah. Exactly. And between the two competitions, they ended up taking one of Olympiacos' best players as well, Wolves, didn't they? And Daniel Podence, who had such an important role in creating the winning
They've
goal.
They've really mugged him off there, haven't they, Andy?
Terrible goalkeeping, wasn't it? It was a really weird decision to make. But it was one of those decisions where you see it from one angle and you go, oh, I'm not sure there's much in that. And you see it from the other one and he's absolutely smashed into the back of him in the penalty area.
But there was a bit of jitter because Jose Sa, their very good first-choice goalkeeper, got quite a serious injury in training. Mm. So Alain came into the team and
he's very much second-choice.
Exactly. Going back to the old days where you've got an enormous drop-off between a very good first-choice goalkeeper.
I prefer those days.
Marcus, that's a good point about the old days.
I was going to say to you, actually, is throw it back your way, something that Andy hasn't mentioned, is that one thing we should talk about in terms of the context of this game is that, of course, Wolves know what their challenge is and they score very early. Mm. So then it's almost a bit... I know it sounds a bit counterintuitive, but it can be a bit like, OK, what do we do now?
Yeah, that's right.
Because if we keep pushing and we get caught out, but if we drop too deep, we can get caught out. So the reason I bring that up is because Andy mentioned the phrase game management, and I think it is a lot harder than they made it look last night to approach that and to see it out. And of course, they did ride the luck because that close offside ruled out by VAR. But other than that, they were pretty good value.
Well, Olympiacos obviously can't do it on a warm night in Wolverhampton.
No, it did look warm as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And Greece is usually quite cold this time of year.
But speaking of Greece, by the way, let's talk about Traore.
Well,
I think this is underplayed.
Go on.
I know people talk about it and it's all over Twitter, but I just don't feel like we talk enough about a man oiling himself up for a football match.
I thought you were going to say
It's a great picture, isn't it?
It looks so shiny.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, so defenders can't grab a hold of him?
Yeah, so he can't grab hold of his arm.
Yeah.
It's like the reverse of Rory Delap and his towel, isn't it?
Yeah, for the ball. Yeah. Do you reckon they'll outlaw it then, like they did with the towel?
Maybe.
Yeah, Rory Delap didn't dry himself, though.
It's the opposite. It's a scale. Delap wants it dry. Traore wants it very wet.
Having played in Stoke for so long, you could have forgiven him for doing so.
Well, that's true. Yes. His skin's waterproof, though.
The wind will dry you in Stoke. Bloody hell, it is windy up there.
Wolves have been rewarded with a quarter-final tie against Sevilla.
Yeah.
Sevilla, who beat Roma. And there was a red card in the 100th minute.
Yeah, I have a huge amount of respect for the game's gone. Let me just bury my elbow in the back of the guy's head. And there's VAR, so I'm definitely not getting away with it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was a very strange decision.
Mm. Do you think, though, that some people... You know when you know you've been... When you know the game's up and you just walk off before the referee brings out the red card. Do you think with VAR, though, because sometimes the decisions people go, how on earth is he... Do you think they sort of go, I might just hang on here, just in case there's some confusion?
I guess he has to decide whether his own elbow is clear and obvious. And if it wasn't, then I suppose this decision stays with the guy on the field.
From memory, didn't he get a little... Mancini, as he was going off the pitch, get a little pat on the back from Eva Banega? In my country, we admire that.
Eva
Banega. As ever, this is news to no one, is a joy to watch.
Oh, yeah.
He's just, that free kick was beautiful. He's a joy to watch.
By the way,
he's magnificent. He will be missed so much.
Have they got VAR in Argentina? Do you know?
I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
They can't.
Are you suggesting they'll never finish a game?
Just do not do it. If you can hear me, AFA, do not do that.
It's like Apocalypse Now with director's commentary.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. This is another deleted set of a crap. We've been in 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know.
Why are there only 8 men left? Eva Banega should have his own song to the tune of Fall in Love with Criminals, Korean Bodega.
Yeah, I'd like it.
It's in my favour. That would fit perfectly. I wish it. He was very, very close to moving to Everton at one point in his career, wasn't he? It never quite happened. I'd love to have seen him.
Emery wanted him for ages for Arsenal as well.
Oh, and it would have been so good. Everton Banega.
That would have been the headline.
Exactly. Damn it all. Would you hurry up and go there for crying out loud? But Wolves, Sevilla, we know they know how to win this competition for crying out loud. It's a tough draw. Shakhtar. And Basel in one of the other games. Manchester United against FC Copenhagen. They'll be pleased with that.
I'll just chime in before Andy jumps in because he knows much more about Sevilla than me and say that this will be a completely different task for Wolves and a very, very tough one. Probably the toughest one they've faced this season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was asked to pick my Europa League semi-finalists a few days ago and I had Sevilla versus United in the semi.
Is that what your interactions with the public are like? Mm. Just people just come up to you and say, you Andy Bresser, can you just give me your Europa League semi-final?
I'm about to go
around say no's.
Yeah.
Do you hang out outside bookies and say, you're on commission, are you? 15% of your winnings.
Do you want an edge? Yeah. Do you want an edge?
My name's Bono, I've got one. Yeah. Inter are playing Leverkusen, who beat Rangers, of course. Leverkusen. It's a big one. Manchester United, Copenhagen, they'll be pleased with that draw. Will the men from Denmark, lol.
Did you see Stella Solbakken, their long-serving coach, and what he had to say about it?
Oh, a bit of mind games already, is there, Andy?
It was showing the footage in the dressing room after they played Başakşehir. One of the players went, bonus! Stella Solbakken paused and he goes, well, if you beat United, you can have my bonus and then you'll be set for life.
Oh, really? A classic example of Scandinavian humour there.
Yeah. Maybe they were watching repeats of like some old Bruce Forsyth show.
Yeah.
They went, bonus.
Brucey, yeah. Exactly. And has anyone heard from Thomas Frank, who seems quite an intense man since his disappointment earlier in the week?
Did you see
Speaking of Scandinavians.
Did you see that tweet from the Swansea keeper or something like that?
I haven't seen it. No.
Oh, well, I'm glad he refused to shake my hand after the match, arrogant and sweaty man or something.
Yeah, that's just
chipping
good, off.
Yeah, I think that was a real tweet, unless some little sod has posed as a keeper.
It's quite a bizarre thing to do. It wasn't real.
Arrogant and sweaty
imagine if the Swansea goalkeeper had a sort of fake Twitter account.
Yeah.
Or a Twitter imposter.
Forgive me if I've got that wrong, but there was definitely a tweet doing the
ramble. Yeah, no, I saw it.
The ramble way is to treat it on face value anyway. But I think it is...
It was on Twitter!
It is particularly rich for a goalkeeper who presumably has just taken his glove off after 100-odd minutes of action and complaining about someone else's hand being sweaty. Mm.
Yeah, the last people in sport you want to shake hands with are goalkeepers or wicketkeepers.
Hands stink. Yeah. Absolutely stink.
Arrogant and sweaty, man.
Yeah. I've never met him. I don't know if that's true or not. But I'm just worried that he's quite an intense guy. You know, the same way you worry about Guardiola losing a big match. He's going to stew on that.
Yeah, I feel
sorry for his family because he's probably not going to want to talk to them.
Yeah.
I feel the same about Thomas Frank.
Indeed.
Anyway, you were talking about FC Copenhagen. I apologise.
No, I think Andy was. I think we covered that. They're against Manchester United. But yeah, Wolves have a very difficult task against Sevilla, Andy.
Yeah, they do. And Sevilla have been absolutely brilliant since coming back from the hiatus. They've got so many options. And I think it was Ruben Uria, the famous Spanish journalist, was saying yesterday, it's not just about them winning on the night. It's not just about what Lopetegui's done this season. It's not just that they've qualified for the Champions League. It's really just a textbook way in which to run a club. The way in which they've done it in recent years. And they've done it, like the amount of money they've spent compared to not just, you know, the peak teams of European football, but next to a Wolves, it's far, far less. And, you know, you look at now the position they're in, we see people linked to Diego Carlos, who had another very good game, I thought, as centre-back, who a lot of people would say has been the best defender in La Liga this season. You know, they bought him, and now they're going to end up selling him this summer for probably like five times what they bought him for. And
we're phenomenal with modern transfers. That
Monchi's back in the Monchi spot.
Love that. Yeah. Oh, and before we move on, I just wanted to say I checked with Betway earlier. Man United are actually favourites for the Europa League.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. So I
that's a big shout. That
Sevilla are third favourites. I think Sevilla, from what I've seen, and I don't watch as much as Andy, I think Sevilla are a standout team in that competition. And Leverkusen are underrated as well.
Inter as well.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think there's a lot in there.
The anger of Conte.
I think with Inter, you always know that however well they're playing, they've got a way of shooting themselves in the foot. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the thing with them. We talked about game management with Wolves. Well, I mean, Sevilla, we know they can do that. I mean, you saw that just the only real good spell that Roma had in that game was just before the second goal. Mm-hmm. And then the way they picked them off on the counter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the precision, the athleticism. And again, Lucas Ocampos, who set up that second goal for Nesri, has been one of the best players in the league this season. Yeah. They're going to be hard to beat.
They've been outstanding since the restart. I mean, their record since the restart has been incredible. I don't know, have they lost a game?
No, they've not. They're unbeaten in about 17, 18.
There you are, you see.
Yeah. Of course, the game wasn't played in Seville because they're playing the Europa League in
Playing in Seville this time of year. Thank you.
Yeah, they'd be happy about that. Yeah. They're playing in Germany, but it still look quite warm.
Yeah, that'd be shirts and skins, wouldn't it?
Oh, mate.
And you definitely
no,
want,
not
you
for me. I get sunburned.
Skins.
I get sunburned. To me, shirt off isn't cooler. It's just more sun cream needed.
Yeah.
It looked pretty hot still in Germany, though. Has it been warm there?
It was,
still?
And
they played quite a bit earlier in the day as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that was just before six, the kick award, just before seven local time.
That's peak hot in London.
In Duisburg, wasn't it? The Sevilla Roma game. But yeah, it was the same as well for Leverkusen and Rangers. It was pretty sticky there in the first half, and Rangers spent a lot of it chasing shadows.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tall order for Rangers and losing the first.
Yeah, hard. Yeah. I mean, look, they've done unbelievably well to get that far in the competition. Well, knock out Braga over two legs.
I think it's helped Scotland's coalition. Coalition? Sorry, that's not...
coefficient.
Sorry, I've not heard anything. Nicola Sturgeon has not told me anything, so forget that. Goodness knows what's going to happen. Oh. Get Adrian's ball back up and running, that's what I'm saying.
You're in private eye next week, Marcus.
One thing that's also I found really interesting is that the qualification games for the Champions League start the same day that the quarterfinals, the first knockout rounds.
Well, actually, Luke, you know me, I don't want to get involved on the running order of this show, but I think if we could bring back Game of the Week, Russian Premier League starts this weekend.
Blimey.
How
Marcus,
we've missed
move it
you,
on.
Right. Russian
move,
Premier League.
Move it on.
It's been so long, though.
I think instantly. People would rather watch the Nicolas Anelka documentary on Netflix than the Russian Premier
League. Yeah, let's talk about
probably
that.
Would.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Have we heard about this? The incredible Sulk.
It.
It's not called The Incredible Soul. That'd be brilliant if it was. That'd be so good if it was. A Netflix original.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was nicknamed Imagine Le Soul.
It's like when Ricky Gervais called that Carl Pilkington show an idiot abroad and didn't tell him. Yeah. Oh, we're going to call it Anelka Misunderstood. Oh, yeah, that sounds really good, actually. Yeah. Turns it on for the first time. What's that? Where's that come from?
Yeah, Anelka Misunderstood. Yeah. Thierry Henry said, for me, there is a world of difference between what people think of Nico and Nico himself. Also the title of Arctic Monkeys' latest album. Mm. but it's... well, Andy, I haven't seen it, actually. I've seen the trailer, and I've already made my mind up. But what do you think?
That's how it's meant to be done.
Indeed, yeah. I don't need any facts, Andy. I need is my whimsical emotions. But Anelka has been, throughout his career, a controversial character and has been quite disliked in certain places. And so on and so forth. Hence the title of this, obviously, Misunderstood. What do you make of this, and what do you make of him?
It was really fascinating just because I don't think it changed my mind on what I really thought about him. I mean, to be honest, I've always really liked Anelka.
Have you interviewed him before?
No, I've not.
Okay. Andy doesn't dislike anybody, though. No, but hence he stuck around us for so long.
It's a proper sport trying to find someone that Andy likes. I think I've found like two people ever. I'm not telling you who they are.
Have you watched the Epstein documentary, Andy? Carry on, sorry. Yeah.
There's a new feature, Andy's Shithouse of the Week.
Yeah. It'd be the hardest work you've ever done trying to find someone.
That'd be good. We'll leave it to the end so I'll have all episode to think about it.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that's always struck me about Anelka is that he's quite reserved and quite shy. And that's something that doesn't really go in football or public life. Because you've seen it with someone who's shy but very different in terms of character, like who he ended up being in the French national team, Yoann Gourcuff. When you don't say stuff in football, a load of speculation rises to fill the vacuum.
Yeah, like you're moody or you're withdrawn.
People say all sort of like crazy shit about you. So I think what was so interesting about this, I mean, you asked me if I've interviewed Anelka. Well, obviously, he's never been that connected to journalists. There are one or two exceptions who appear in the documentary.
One of them is presumably Guillaume Balagay. Because he knows everyone.
To have Anelka facing camera talking about himself is actually really unusual.
Yeah.
Really.
So it's quite impactful then, really.
Really interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing that maybe disappointed me a little bit is, I guess for brevity, they cut out some quite big bits of his career. Because obviously there are the bits you have to hit, like Arsenal, Real Madrid, World Cup 2010,
Domenech,
all that sort of stuff. But I would have loved to know more about or more of his perspective about his second spell at Paris Saint-Germain, which didn't go particularly well. And funnily enough, it left out quite a lot. It only really briefly mentioned him playing for Fenerbahce and Bolton, which was a bit that actually really turned his life around, actually.
It's very difficult to cover it all with Anelka. It's such a long career.
Totally. You forget how much he covered.
But they did include the controversial celebration, or the offensive celebration, actually.
The Canal,
We did at West Brom.
Which he said he basically directed as an up yours at Steve Clark.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's a difficult one to unpick. So that is in the documentary. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot in there. I mean, I think that this documentary will have to go some to convince people otherwise with Anelka.
Well, don't you think that's the same with any public figure? Like, if people have made their mind up about them, they've made their mind up about them anyway.
The reason people
who don't like him will probably not watch it anyway.
The reason the Fenerbahce Bolton period I think is interesting and of interest is because when he goes to Fenerbahce, you kind of, I don't remember the specific details, but about something 15 years ago, he goes to Fenerbahce. He comes back to Bolton, but he's so resurgent at Bolton that he ends up getting a move to Chelsea.
Yeah.
And staying there for quite a long time.
And played in the Champions League final, obviously missed the penalty.
It's a resurgent part of his career, right?
That's the thing. And I think that the fact that he's regenerated in terms of how people in the game look at him in that period is really interesting. Because you're right, when he goes to Fenerbahce, people think, out of sight, out of mind, you know, is he going to play for an elite club again? No. Especially after Liverpool choose not to sign him, he ends up going to City, and then
he's only about 26, wasn't he then?
Yeah, that's right. But a lot of people in the game will have will have written him off as a serious elite contender at that point. But I think the interesting thing is, like, when he's at Bolton, he goes, I think, back to Turkey to get married. This is something that's not mentioned in the film. And he invites the entire Bolton squad with him. And they all come.
And Big Sam's there.
Well, you know, nothing like a pint of wine in Istanbul,
is there? I say, yeah.
Istanbul's an incredible place to visit.
But I think that's
so it's worth a watch. Really, people listening, it's worth them having.
I think that's the interesting thing, that it's not just a puff piece. There's a lot of interesting stuff, and he's really honest about it. I mean, he says when he got to Real Madrid, because he said when he was a kid he didn't just want to be a footballer, he wanted to be a star. And when he got to Real Madrid, he realised he was a star, and he said, "I hated it."
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's a lot of mistakes made by Real Madrid when they brought him in. I remember it being reported. In
they didn't really look after him at all.
Won the Champions League there.
Yeah,
yeah, he did.
It's not too shabby.
And he was great in the semis and the final.
Indeed, Andy. Indeed. Right, it's time for this.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
Yeah, it's now time for a brand new section, or an introduction of a new section here on the Football Ramble. Let's play it again. In case people are caught unawares. Let's have it again.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
Yeah, that's right. It's time for a new feature we're going to call The Topics. Every week, we'll be asking you, the listener, a question from football's darkest depths. That sounds sinister, but it's not really. it could be anything from Atalanta's Champions League chances to what pies you'd ban from a football stadium. Not really dark depths. Charlie's written that. It shouldn't have been written like that. I should have checked it. After the break, we'll be discussing the return of the Champions League. So that's what our first question this week is about. With the Champions League summer extravaganza starting tonight, we want to know, what unique features would you put in your own summer football tournament? Sprinklers appearing mid-game, a mid-game ice cream break,
yes.
Goalkeepers must also tender barbecue, that kind of stuff. Let us know. Email your answers to show@footballrambledaily.com or tweet us using the hashtag RambleTopics. So, what unique features would you put in your own summer football tournament? We'll read those out every show next week when we get them in, and we'll look forward to hearing your responses. That was...
We concentrate on the topics.
The topics.
We're pretty good to many topics today.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a break.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Now, gentlemen, before we talk about the Champions League happening this evening, do you see that the five sub rule has been scrapped? Premier League clubs didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
So it was voted. That's interesting you say that. It was voted. I think only 9 teams in the Premier League voted for it, so it didn't carry a majority. So it wasn't adopted for next season. I understand at first glance why people will be supportive of it, because they say it favours the big teams. You've got a deeper squad, you've got more resources, you can take advantage of it. But the word of caution, Andy, in response to that, I would urge, is just that we have seen a lot of injuries. It's a tiny break between the end of the season and the start of next season, particularly for Champions League teams and teams in Europe. I wonder if this is actually going to be quite damaging. The schedule for August is insane for European teams.
Yeah.
And I wonder if this is going to be quite damaging as we get through like the winter into the second half of next season.
Well, I think the other interesting thing is the fact if there's one league that could carry off 5 subs per game, it's the Premier League, because all the teams are rich and all the teams have got fat squads. I think it's if you're talking about it having a negative effect, it's more likely to be the case in Italy or France, where you have one uber dominant team, than it is in the Premier League.
Do you think I haven't seen the individual votes, but do you think the Wolves voted against it? Nah, we only use 15 players. Anyway. That doesn't matter.
Do they have a fat squad or not, Andy? I remember if you did, you'd want more subs.
Fat PHAT.
Oh, man. I see.
Yeah. Get the baby oil on them.
Get them all up, for crying out loud. Yeah. Well, of course, the main reason is the teams who have less quality, let we say the smaller teams, they are concerned that the bigger teams, you know, Man City, you have 5 substitutes who have been turning the game around and blah, 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 blah. So that's probably it. And also, Luke, I know what you're saying about European competition in August. That's probably
they're just going to get such a short break.
But that would encourage the smaller teams, and they'll think, OK, so the bigger teams, they've already got a huge advantage. They've got bigger squads. They'll be even more knackered. Up yours with the 5 subs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. Mm. But I mean, look at how many players Chelsea got injured in one game.
Of course, yeah. You know, but 11 of the clubs voted this down.
That's right. I know. Yeah, yeah. Mm. But when it was voted on before for the reintroduction, I think it was 16 voted in favour.
Yeah,
which is quite an interesting.
And you
change.
Need 14.
I think it was just a straight majority in this case.
Oh,
it normally is 14, so you might be right. Okay. I'm not entirely sure.
I think it is 14.
Okay.
Also, I think the particular issue with the Premier League is it's about rhythm, isn't it? And in terms of the actual rhythm of the game, it's kind of disruptive, not just because there are so many breaks, but it kind of edges towards international friendly when you get...
Yeah, it feels about that, because the summer as well.
And I have to say, like, there are so many elements of the Premier League. If there was any doubt before, and there shouldn't have been, how important the crowds are in the Premier League, that shouldn't be in any doubt now. And I think the Premier League will want to recuperate its proper rhythm and its full personality as quickly as possible, and that's part of it, I think.
Indeed, Andy. Well, something that we can look forward to tonight, obviously, is the Champions League. The Champions League is back, for crying out loud, and we've got a big one. We've got a big old bugger tonight. I was debating which word to go for there. There was a few B's. I thought, I can't use that. Oh, shouldn't use that. No, I'll go for that.
Oil it up and stick it on the wing. It's a lovely fixture. It's a lovely fixture.
Manchester City versus Real Madrid. Now, there won't be fans in the stadium, of course. But if there were, they'd be very disappointed that Gareth Bale's not in the Madrid side. Zidane said he's not injured. I really respect him.
Helpful.
And all the players. He is a current player of Real Madrid. That does not change anything. He is our player. I respect that, and I respect him. He prefers not to play. That's all I can say. Is Bale's agent got a gun to his head?
He prefers not to play. That's a damning thing for a manager to say, however it's couched, isn't it?
He's our player. Thing. I respect him. He's not playing. I respect him. He's an idiot. I respect... You know,
is that a Zidane soundboard that's done that?
Say.
Yeah.
So does Zidane look alike?
I don't want to turn this chat into just a sideshow about Bale, though, because I think the first game between these two teams was a brilliant game. It was full of brilliant incident. Mm-hmm. The crowd, well, I watched it back yesterday because I knew we'd be talking about it. The crowd, I know it's a case of you don't know what you've got till it's gone, but the crowd were amazing just because I'm so used to not seeing them now, which is really sad. You've got Ramos picking up his 26th red card late in the game.
Well, he's suspended, of course.
Yeah, so he won't.
He's still going, though.
Of course he is.
Gareth.
Of course, yeah, exactly. Making the effort. Do you want me to pick you up in the morning, Gareth? Because I'm still going, mate. But the point I really wanted to make, and I just wanted to pose this as a question to Andy, actually, it's about Man City. They play well. I mean, a lot's been made, and they played a slightly different type of football. Riyad Mahrez plays really well. They concede a goal in the Bernabeu against a good team in the shape of Isco, but they don't let it affect them. They bounce back. They turn it around to win 2-1. And had things been different, what's transpired has made this probably a fairly redundant question, but I still think it's an interesting one. Could that have been seen as like a watershed moment in the Champions League for Man City?
Definitely.
And has that now been lost?
Possibly, because they're facing a totally different Real Madrid side to the one they would have faced 5 months ago. I mean, this is absolutely unprecedented. In an era when everything's unprecedented, to play two matches 5 months apart, I mean, it's very, very difficult. And I think you look at the respective rhythm of the teams. And of course, there have been loads of occasions since football has come back in the Premier League in which we've thought, aren't Manchester City wonderful to watch? How didn't they win the title? Well, they kind of proved why they didn't win the title in that game at Chelsea. Yeah. But there's so little of genuine value to judge City on. I was saying elsewhere earlier in the week that I kind of feel that everything that City has done since the resumption of the Premier League, it's just been high-spec training sessions, really. Because they know they're not going to finish. They know they're not going to win the league. They're not going to not finish in the top four. So where does the intensity really come from? That is the challenge for Pep Guardiola. And though they've played loads of pleasing football, it's different to like the situation that Real Madrid came back into after the hiatus. It's like you've got to win every single game. You can't drop anything if you're going to overhaul Barcelona. And they play to grind out all those games. And, you know, there's no way, whatever happens in this game, there's no way Real Madrid are playing better football than Manchester City. That is not possible. That is absolutely off the table, and people should understand that. Can they go out there and win the game and the tie? Yeah, still. I think they can. You look at the fact that, as Luke says, like all this season, we don't feel that Manchester City can really grind games out. And I still don't feel that. Whereas we know that Real Madrid can. They could actually play not that well and still win this game. Obviously, Sergio Ramos is an absolutely huge loss, and that's a huge part of that. But I think already the talk that they're going to go with the big three up top, with Asensio and Hazard, who've not played this season a lot because of injuries, to flank Benzema, who's having the season of his life. I mean, that...
But they need goals, Andy.
Yeah, but especially for a coach like Zinedine Zidane, who is circumspect. He is a coach that wants to defend and react. I think for them to go in with three like that, it's a big gamble. It's interesting.
Can you tell me the last time Real Madrid have recovered from losing a home first leg?
Never.
In the European Cup? The answer is never. Happened in 70, almost 70 years.
Which means it'll probably happen then. Is there the one
probably,
of those sides on
that, Dan? They mad. Very, very rarely lose in the Champions League as
incredible.
Well.
The thing, it was interesting because I can't remember the exact player or person connected to Real Madrid who was interviewed and asked about this fixture, and he responded by saying Real Madrid are always favourites, and that's why people don't like you very much. That is why people don't like you very much. But I rewatched the first leg. I thought it's just thrilling to watch. It was a fantastic game.
City were amazing, and they could have won it by more.
Mahrez was so bright. He was so busy.
Yeah, he was.
You know, it was a great game to watch. It really was. Courtois had an excellent game. He kind of kept them in it really. So it'll be a really, really entertaining second leg, I hope.
Juventus versus Lyon, Andy, your beloved Lyon, up against Cristiano Ronaldo's boys. But Lyon have a slender lead, but a lead nonetheless going into the match. What do you think about this one then? Because obviously Juventus are champions, always assume that unless you're told otherwise.
Juventus are always favourites.
That's how they look at it, and they certainly are.
Yeah, everything's stacked in Juventus's favour. I think the fact that they were able to take off the last two matches of Serie A, I mean, we were saying yesterday, the fact that they won the league by 1 point is the biggest fib that tables have ever told, really, because they you know, basically gave away those two games against Cagliari and Roma in the last two games.
Ronaldo's been rested as well.
Yeah, that's right. He was rested in the last game, in the penultimate game against Cagliari, when they lost, he was so angry about it.
Yeah,
at that point, I think he was still entertaining becoming the Capo Canyoneri before Ciro Immobile pulled away. But he was just so angry with being in a losing situation.
But Andy, the good thing for Juventus and Ronaldo, Vasari is very excited about this. He said on Wednesday he scored an excellent goal in training.
Well, if you're Cristiano Ronaldo, you don't really need to boast about goals in training, do you?
No, sorry,
boasting on his behalf.
And then Ronaldo went, oh, Dad, you're always embarrassing me. context is everything in this game. You know, I think Andy mentioned in the last game we talked about the gap between the two legs. I mean, the gap contextually in these two, between these two, is unbelievable. I mean, the reason for that is when they go into that first leg, Juve had scored in 34 of 35 games under Sarri. They're in great nick. Lyon get a clean sheet, which is an amazing performance against that Juventus side at the time. But Lyon ride their luck, score this shinned goal after a foul throw when De Ligt was off the pitch getting treatment, and the whole perfect storm kind of descended, and they got a goal and they were able to keep hold of it.
I think they did deserve to win that game. And
the goal was very fortunate.
Don't have a dig at Lyon when Andy's
a little bit, but no, the...
Here we go. I've riled him.
The plan was
excellent. You coming here and you talk about...
We've talked about Sevilla. We'll finish with AFC Wimbledon.
At least give it the goal was very fortunate.
A little bit.
And they didn't score any other goals. So they're fortunate to win it.
A little bit. Well, that's like saying that Juventus were fortunate when Lyon hit the woodwork. I mean, that's ridiculous, really.
One thing that's also interesting about that game is that the players, particularly Cornet, were G'ing up the crowd quite a lot. And it was almost like, looking back on it, and maybe I'm just painting pictures because of what's happened since.
Can't do it this way.
No, it felt like they were really relying on the crowd.
Yeah. But don't you think that if Lyon have an advantage, it's that they're not going to a bare pit? That they're not going to, you know, that
Alex, but they haven't played enough football. They just haven't played enough football.
No, they haven't. That's a huge thing. But I think if you're looking at reasons for this to be competitive, and there are a million reasons to look at it not being competitive because Juventus are far more in rhythm, etc., etc. They're playing at home. They're clearly a lot better than Lyon. The fact that they're not going to have to go, the Allianz Stadium on a night like this is normally immense. I was there when they overturned that 2-goal lead against Atletico, for example. And Atletico shrunk in their kits.
Yeah.
You know, they really did. I think the other thing that Lyon have that could work for them, if you go back to the Coupe de la Ligue final last Friday, they sort of played this containment game, which is kind of what they're going to have to do tonight. And they did it very, very well against Paris Saint-Germain. Admittedly, another team that hasn't played a lot of competitive football recently. But it shows that they are capable of doing that. So if you're looking for a reason for it to be competitive, it's no atmosphere, Garcia knows how to set up a team to defend, and the fact that Paulo Dybala is not quite 100% fit. But I realise there's an element of clutching at straws there.
Yeah. Well, if Juventus do go out, which would be a bit of a shock.
Oh, Sarri's gone.
Then I think there'll be a lot
before the broadcast is finished.
I was about to say, I mean,
200 Decker Benson and Hedges. Thanks for all the Varrica's rain. See you later. Poor Travis Spitfire. Yeah. See you later.
200 half Benson and Hedges.
Yeah. I just want the filters. I don't need the filters.
Maybe if they even win with a slender. With just
I think if he stays
goal.
In the hat, they stay in the hat. He's got their goalkeeper. Yeah.
They won't do a Watford.
No.
You wouldn't have thought so.
No.
And then on Saturday, Barcelona and Napoli. Could be an interesting one. And then Bayern. Bayern Chelsea. It's already 3-0 to Bayern, so surely.
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of having egg on my face for the second time on this show this week, I'd be stunned if that's anything other than a Bayern walkover. But the Barcelona-Napoli game's interesting. Again, the first leg was pretty cool. And the Barcelona score, that classic Barcelona goal from the golden era of Barca, balling behind the fullback, and Napoli find it hard to deal with. But Napoli with decent value. Griezmann's comments after that game were really interesting. He basically implied that Barcelona weren't good enough in the first half, fine. But he then made a point of saying that Napoli were really tired in the second half. And he looked quite surprised.
Yeah.
So I don't know however many months on it is, it's probably irrelevant. But at the time, I remember thinking that was quite interesting and a bit of gamesmanship ahead of an expected second leg.
They'll just replay that video, won't they, to the players and go, right, come on.
But
Would they put that video on the wall of the dressing room?
Possibly.
As a GIF.
But people, the teams do that sort of thing. If, when a player says something like that, the opposition manager can go, thanks, mate.
What happens if it backfires and a couple of players go, to be fair, we are knackered?
Yeah, if they've run too much and then time will tell.
But Napoli were like far more fragile then. Yeah. You know, what they've done since... Gattuso has done an incredible job. We've come to a point now, I think, where we have to accept that Rino Gattuso is a really, really good coach.
Just let's think about that for a moment.
I've got no opposition to that.
I certainly would say that to his face, Andy. without a doubt. But I think you're right. I think Barcelona versus Napoli, it's 1-1 after the first leg. It's an interesting one, that. Barcelona, of course, are favourites, but
presumably Napoli feel like it's a huge advantage to have their first game at home with fans and then their away game without fans, right? Yeah. I mean, I know it's a pretty obvious thing to say, but they'd be happy with that, right?
Maybe that'd be, you know, the way how Napoli fans get into the San Paolo, like 6 hours before kickoff, before a really big game. Maybe that's Barcelona's way of sneaking a few fans in.
Well, it's not technically a game happening at this point.
We are going to open the doors for 5 minutes, 6 hours before kickoff. Yeah. You've got a chance to get in.
No, we should say, look, we're an international show. If you're listening, Barcelona fans, don't do that.
Do your bit. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for us to do our bit because it's time for this.
It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. It is time for Luke's game. Emotional scenes, dramatic scenes last week as Vish, the very popular Vish, or as he's now known, Filet Vish, after his strongly held opinions on that particular McDonald's sandwich, won on debut.
Marcus, what a game it was.
We've like come down on the fact that it's a filet of fish, not a fillet of fish.
Filet, yeah. It's got one T, isn't it? And one L. A filet.
I don't know. I've not been to McDonald's since the last century.
Actually, the T is irrelevant. It's the L. It's a filet of fish. Filet o' fish. Ah. Yeah. Weirdly, is it a McFilet o' fish? It might be.
Could be.
Who knows? It doesn't matter. Marcus, can you just give us a short sentence on how you feel after that defeat last week?
Oh, it was great to be involved in a game like that.
Yeah. The game itself was the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And you feel confident going
Sincere.
I don't feel confident at all, but I'm just happy to be here. I've realised that I'm way down the pecking order now and I've already been relegated. I can just enjoy it.
Well, you're up on holiday later, so you are actually on the beach. There's nothing to lose.
No pressure.
All right, here we go. So, Andy, I believe, I think, and I haven't double checked, but I think that, Andy, you were second last time, so you're first.
It's a very loose interpretation.
It doesn't matter.
It
doesn't really matter. Mm. It doesn't matter. I'll get pelters, whatever happens.
Right.
That's just how it goes. So, Andy, you are going to go first. I've decided that. There has been a slight sort of, not change the rules, but a very, very harsh amendment, shall we say, to the laws of the game. Mm-hmm. There is no...
I'm not allowed to speak during during
no,
happening.
You can do your mind games, all that kind of stuff. I encourage the finger counting, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But there shall be no repetition. If there's a repetition, it's a point to the player.
But,
arrogant, isn't it, Mark? Yeah. It's just arrogant.
I would have won more easily last time if that was applied correctly last time.
Look at his face. Look at his face, Marcus. Right. That gives you the fuel you need. Put that up on your metaphorical dressing room. Right, Andy, you're up first.
Gif of it.
Yeah, he's played for 8 clubs. He retired, I believe, earlier this year. He is Michael Essien.
Right. Mm. Okay.
I think that plays into your hands.
I don't think it does.
Okay. You would know.
Yeah, take it from me.
You know what you know. Yeah, so that's fine.
One.
Here it comes. It starts. Two, yeah, I've got all them. Yeah. Next. Can I trouble you for a bid? An opening bid?
Six.
Six? I see. That's what you're up against.
It is. Go on then, Andy.
Okay, 6, please. One at a time, no repetition. Uh-huh.
The thing is, I didn't count on my fingers, so I don't know if I've miscounted. This is where the tension is.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be impressed if you can get 6. That's all I'll say.
Bastia.
It's a good start.
Sorry, what was that?
Bastia.
Bastia.
Right, repetition.
That's one. Go on.
Leon.
Correct.
Chelsea.
Correct.
Real Madrid.
Correct.
Milan.
Correct.
Panathinaikos.
Not only is he named 6, he's named in order.
He does.
In
order. Very well there.
Do you have a guess at the 7th and the 8th?
There's somewhere in, I think, Malaysia or Indonesia.
Yeah, Persib Bandung. And then he finished his career at a club called Sabeo, I think that's pronounced, but I don't know where they are. So that's
I'm
one.
Glad I didn't go for those.
That's one to Andy.
When Andy said Bastia, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, I know. It's an ominous start. Yeah. Okay, Marcus, you're up next. He's played for 6 clubs. He retired last year. one of the very finest left-backs any of us have ever seen play, mm-hmm. without question, mm-hmm. is Ashley Cole.
Ashley Cole.
Don't look at him, Marcus. He's counting on his fingers. Don't look at him.
He is counting on his fingers.
Clear mind, full heart. Can't
yeah,
lose.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Do you know what I want to see from you today, Marcus?
Yeah.
I want to see fire in the belly, head in the freezer. Fire in the belly, head in the freezer, mate.
That's what you need.
That's very much what I need. This is so frustrating.
Come on. I'm Paxman and you're already.
I can do five.
That's good. That's a great solid bet.
That's good.
That's a great solid amount, sorry. Andy?
Yeah, I don't think I can do more than five.
So the five is on you, Marcus. So by all means, go for it. I've bid already, haven't I?
Arsenal, Chelsea.
Correct.
Roma.
Correct.
Derby County.
Correct.
LA Galaxy.
Correct. Oh. That's one all. Well played.
I remember Derby right near the end.
I was going to have Palace.
Crystal Palace on loan.
That was one I forgot. Yeah. I thought Andy's going to get all six here, which is why when I thought I could only do five, I was like,
That's an easily forgettable one. He only spent, played 14 league games on loan at Crystal Palace in 2000.
Yeah.
That was belly full of fire, head in the freezer. Good to see.
Nice.
Andy, you're up first this time. This is a bit more of a curveball, okay? He retired in 2014. Very well-known player on these shores, but retired in 2014. Right. He's played for four clubs in total. Just four.
Yes.
It's Park Ji-sung.
Oh, hellfire.
You're giving yourself away with that. You want to be going, yep, no problem.
No, but I might be doing the old double bluff.
Park Ji-sung.
Which I definitely am.
Please.
That's difficult.
Is it, Andy?
Two.
Can you do three? I think there are tribes hitherto uncontacted in the Amazon that could do two.
Yeah.
Can you do three?
To be honest with you, I think I'll be struggling with two. I was really hoping he'd say one. Yeah. I thought I've got half a chance.
Do you want to go three or do you want to get him to name them?
Well, he's going to get the two, isn't he?
Well, then you know what you got to do.
Do you know what? As embarrassing as this is, I'm not even confident with two.
Okay. Then all is lost.
I know.
Andy, you want to name two? Are you going to go out on your knees or are you going to die on your sword like a soldier?
I've got to go three, haven't I?
Yes! That's the kind of stuff that keeps people coming back. Go ahead.
I'm about to embarrass myself.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Manchester United.
That is correct.
Yes! I can't. This is so frustrating. I'm getting him mixed up with one or two others. So I'll go out on a limb. FC Seoul.
Incorrect. Yeah. I'm afraid that's a point to Andy.
Good guess,
Andy. What do you know about Park Ji-sung?
I didn't actually know.
Clever play.
So I'm surprised that you both for that because he started off at Kyoto Purple Sanga. I'm not expecting to get that.
Right. Yeah.
But then he. I thought, quite famously, because I remember him signing for Man United from there, he was at PSV for quite a long time.
Yes, that's right.
And then he went back to PSV later in his career. But he also spent a bit of time at Queen's Park Rangers.
Oh, bollocks.
So that was the two I thought you might get.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two of those three I thought you might have. Anyway, Andy, you've got the point.
I knew it was a big European club and I couldn't remember it for the life of me. I thought Andy will get that. But fair play, Andy.
It's 2-1 to Andy.
Well done.
We go again.
Yeah.
Marcus, you are first up this time. He's played for four clubs, retired in 2011.
Park Ji-sung?
Very, very decorated player. A household name to most listeners, I would have thought. It's Edwin van der Sar. Four clubs, Edwin van der Sar.
You are a lucky boy here.
Am I?
Yeah, you are.
They come out at random.
All right, I'll go all four.
Okay, then there's nothing you can come back with on that.
No.
So please go for all four. No repetition, no mistakes.
Manchester United.
Correct.
Fulham.
Correct.
Juventus.
Correct.
This one. Ajax.
Correct.
Yes!
Yeah, well played. It's 2-1. We must have a decider.
Here we go.
Once again,
great to be involved.
It's great. It's a great game. It's been a great fixture. I once saw some toe wrestling at a festival being done. Refereed by a very aggressive German man.
Uh-huh.
And as I walked past, I looked over and heard him scream, "We must have a decider!" And it's always stuck in my mind. So, Andy, we must indeed have a decider.
Yes.
You're first. He's played for 7 clubs. I can't stress this enough. The players come out at random. You may find this not quite in your wheelhouse, so I apologise in advance, but the game is a harsh game. 7 clubs in total.
We can't have Scott Parker again.
Yeah.
7 clubs in total. He's still playing, I believe. He's still playing. Javier Mascherano.
Oh, good one.
Javier Mascherano. Marcus smells blood. Big time here.
Does he? Okay. Four.
It's a good bid. That is a solid bid by anyone's standards. Can you go better than that, Marcus?
That's really annoying, Andy, that you've gone four.
It's right in the sweet spot, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
It's right in the pocket, mate.
It really
is. It's textbook Luke's game, that, from Brassel.
This is exactly what happened with Vish last week.
Well, Marcus...
It's literally the same. I had four and I went for the fifth.
People will jump on Twitter and talk about perhaps another win for Andy. Uh-huh. What they never mention is what I like the best, is that he just gets the basics right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Technically very good.
The thing is, Andy, you know, he always wins those games that you've got to win.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
He's in the winning habit. Go on, so we've got four as a bid.
Yeah, how confident are you with
don't
four,
think
Andy?
I've not noticed you're stalling. Carry on.
I just want to know how confident he is.
You don't have to answer that, Andy. You don't want to.
Well, it's a long shot, but you've got to have a go, haven't you?
You do have to have a go.
So much I want to say here.
I'm going to go five.
I was about to say, you're off your rocker if you think you can do five. But good on you.
All right.
Can you go six? Do you want six?
I actually think I think I can do five.
On you.
I think I can do five. I don't think I can do six.
So what's your bid?
No.
Come on, have a go. Win it properly.
I'm going to let him do it.
Okay, Mark, it's on you. 5 clubs for a first ever win over Andy Brassel to be the lineal champion, I think. It would be the lineal champion. Because you lost to Vish, but you weren't the champion at that point. That's Andy's been the champion.
Yeah.
You win this, the champion, you hold the belt.
Yeah.
5 clubs that Javier Mascherano's played for, please. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I definitely know 3.
A poor start.
So let's get them out of the way.
Yeah.
West Ham.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Barcelona.
Correct.
I nearly said Real Madrid.
They're your bankers.
That would have been piss poor.
So you need 2 more for the title.
Now, there's obviously an Argentinian club in there, must be, which was an obvious one. But they both signed to West Ham from a Brazilian side. And I think it was. I've got 2 in my head. This is so annoying.
People will be on tenterhooks.
This is magnificent tension.
It's great play.
Can I name the 2 clubs without
no
putting one forward?
No, I have to have a named club from you, so you can deliberate in your mind, but you have to deliver a club. You can't do it's one or the other. I think that's poor form.
Okay.
Because you're not going to get anything back from us, so you might as well just keep it to yourself.
So has he got 7 in total, did you say?
7 clubs in total, yeah, and you've named 3 of them. West Ham, Liverpool, Barcelona, you've named. That covers his career from 2006 to 2018.
It was one of the big Brazilian sides, and I've got the choice of 2 in my mind. And this is excruciating. I'm going to go for Corinthians.
That's correct. You've got 4.
Right.
You've got 4.
Right.
You need 1 more for the belt. This is massive. This is massive.
This is so annoying. Because
people can't see because they're only listening, but there is a crowd 3-4 deep outside the studio right now.
They shouldn't
now.
Be here.
They're socially distanced, every
they
single
are,
one of
they
them.
Are.
We've padded it
That's
out.
Why there's
yeah.
a crowd.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why
they're
there's
socially
crowd.
Distanced.
This is so frustrating because there's the
spoiler alert.
There's the obvious
there's no one else here.
There's the obvious one to go for, but I'm really not sure he played for them.
I need 1 more club for you for the belt. For the title.
Oh, this is so annoying.
You're off on your holes. You could go with a belt tucked under all around your waist.
Yeah.
Traditionalist.
But you said rocks in your head if you're going to get 6, didn't you?
I said that about 5, but I was just building the tension.
But yeah.
I hope you've got more than hand luggage on Ryanair.
Yeah.
I'm being told by the producer, Young, I have to push you now. You're going to have to get him on because we're going to be here too long.
The safe bet is the obvious one, but I'm not sure he played for them. All right, fine. I've got to go for the obvious one, Boca Juniors.
Oh, it's so close.
Oh, no.
If you had said River Plate.
Oh, man.
Or Estudiantes, you'd have won.
Do you know what?
I'm afraid.
I had Boca and Vélez in my mind. So
no, neither of those, I'm afraid. So Hebei China Fortune makes up the 7.
Ah.
The title stays with Andy Brassel, but I think regular listeners to the game will know that's as close as he's been pushed ever. And that is a brave and valiant effort by Marcus Speller. But Andy Brassel wins Luke's game for this week.
Wow, I was close, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the best edition yet.
I was Wolves, he was Olympiakos.
Yeah. You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but did you know 4? or five, whatever it was. How many?
Yeah,
did you know?
I did know five actually.
Okay, and
I realised that.
I thought you'd get the Brazilian side. To me, it was either Corinthians or Internacional.
Yeah,
I couldn't quite remember, so I thought bollocks.
Yeah. Anyway,
lucky there. Well,
anyway.
There we are.
Well played, everyone.
There we are. Great stuff. It's just great, Luke's game.
It's great stuff. It's textbook. It is textbook.
Well, there we are. I enjoyed it, gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed. I hope you've enjoyed the preview show sponsored by Betway on tomorrow's greatest games in association with the Blizzard. The Mail on Sunday's Rob Draper joins us to talk about Watford 4, QPR 0 from the 81-82. Second division as Terry Venables and Graham Taylor went head to head in the dugout.
One for the purist.
Well, it really is actually. It's quite an interesting one. That so I do.
They can be the best types of ones.
Absolutely right. And a reminder of our topic for this week, everybody, or next week. What unique features would you put in your own summer football tournament? Email your answers to show@footballrambledaily.com or tweet us using the hashtag #RambleTopics.
The topics.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. See you very, very soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.